for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, November the 27th, 1998. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. James Golden of Belize, Central America, our missionary to Belize, is the speaker of the morning.
I didn't know they were still going to be here this weekend. And there are representatives to Belize and Cuba. And they've been back to visit us more times this year than they have for a long, long time. And it's a privilege to have them. Brother James, comment.
Can we ever go on another big hand clap offering? And say a big hearty praise the Lord. Oh, yes, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When we came to the States, let's see, on July the 24th of this year, we knew my wife had bad cataracts on her left eye, and she would need eye surgery, and we were delayed in getting the appointments. Right after we got here, she came down with a bad cough, and they just don't do eye surgery for people that's got a bad cough, and we had to wait for that to clear up. When it finally cleared up, well, she had her eye surgery, and she can now see better than she has seen in 5 years. She can now see how to read fine print that she hasn't been able to read during these past 5 years. Well, she was scheduled for different appointments. I didn't realize the doctors would want you to come back for so many appointments. And that kindly made it so that we needed to stay around close, you know. We couldn't hardly afford to run off to California or up to Minnesota like we have been known to do in visits to the States. And, you know, really, that's sort of like an excuse for staying around here. You know, I'm making an excuse for staying around here. I believe God wanted us to be right here at Lake Hamilton Camp Meeting and all of these camp meetings that we've been able to go to. I tell you what, you know, we'll be taking off back down to Belize in a few days, and then around January getting ready to go to Cuba, and then in February getting ready to go down into Honduras. Let me tell you, we've got a ripe harvest field, and I believe that as a result of being here in these Lake Hamilton camp meetings and being with these men and women of God and drawing strength that we have drawn from them, receiving counsel from men and women that God has filled full of wisdom, I believe that we are better and more equipped. I am sure that that is part of God's plan for us in preparing to get us ready to go back to the harvest field. But in the process, my wife is able to see better. Isn't that wonderful? About 5 years ago, she was blind in her right eye and had a small cataract on her left eye. She would do the best that she could to try to, you know, look and read a road sign. And she'd read that road sign off to me. I had already read it long before, but when she got up big enough that she could see it, well, you know, she could still read it. Well, the time came when we had eye surgery and removed that cataract, and she had excellent vision in her right eye. But then, you know, her left eye, the doctor said that they don't want to operate on a cataract until it gets ripe. So, but it had got overripe, I think. But praise God that in all the process of all of this, we're going back to the mission field, and I just feel victorious in the Lord Jesus. I feel the excitement of the challenge that there is out there before us. I know that in the natural there's many things that are not so beautiful and that are not so good. But let me tell you, tribulation just ripens the harvest. And God knows how to use tribulation just to open doors and to break down barriers and to soften hearts. I praise God for a wife that has been so very faithful, a very faithful wife down through the years, very faithful handmaiden of the Lord, very faithful mother of children. It was on February the 24th in 1961, over here in Hot Springs on Spring Street in a little chapel. She and I were joined together in holy matrimony. Were you there? Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Well, shortly thereafter, I had already been in missionary work, and it was with the understanding that God was dealing with the hearts of both of us to give our hearts and our lives to Him in missionary work for however long He saw fit and wherever He saw fit to send us. We made that pledge and that dedication to the Lord. Well, let's see, how long ago has that been? 37 years ago. And God's given us grace to remain committed. And He has been so very faithful to take care of us all down through those years. And to have a wife, you know, people have asked me about miracles that I have seen on the mission field. And maybe before we get away from here tonight, I can tell you of some very outstanding miracles we've seen God do. But, you know, a miracle that... Maybe my wife can tell about that, too. About the greatest miracle that's happened to me is God gave me a wife that would put up with me for 37 years and keep the victory and stay faithful to the Lord. Now, that's my miracle. I guess that's about my greatest miracle. I wonder if it would please the court, please the congregation for Marlene to come. You know, I was asked to speak, so see, they twain shall be one flesh, you know. And I'm wondering if it would be all right with all of y'all if she came and shared something with us this morning. Sister Marlene Golden, my miracle.
A few years ago, we were here in the States, and we had been given several things, and we being permanent residents of Belize, when you cross the border, you have to pay import tax on about everything you take in. So we got to the border, and we had to pay import tax, and it took nearly all of our money. We begin to wonder, Lord, how are you going to supply food for us until we hear from the United States? And sometimes that takes a month and a half, or 2 months to get mail. Well, we went home, and I opened the door and walked into my little house, and little animals had moved into our house while we were gone. You know, it being a wooden frame, they're going to find some way to get in. So I had seen the evidence that rats had moved in, so we began to clean up the rat nest and all of the rat mess that had been made in the house. We got a live trap and began to catch the rats. At night, they would come out and go in the trap, and then we would catch them alive. And we would teach our dogs to kill the rats so that they wouldn't come in the house. They'd kill them before they came in. Well, we set those traps, and we caught a rat one morning, and when I came downstairs, I saw the rat in the trap, and Brother Golden took it out and gave it to the dogs, and they killed it, and then, you know, we throw it away or bury it. And then I looked, and between my stove and my cabinet, there was a huge towel, bath towel, and I thought, that rat has made a nest under that cabinet. So I removed everything in the cabinet and removed the little cabinet, and there was this huge rat nest. And it looked like she had stolen a whole roll of toilet tissue. She had chewed it all up, and she had belts and socks, a washcloth, dishcloth, just about anything that she could find. She had it in that little nest, laying right on top of that nest with a $20 bill. Now, this was at the time... $20 was the biggest bill that they had in Belize. And we begin to wonder, you know, where that money came from, because we didn't leave money at home when we left. and we had been gone 3 months. And so I cleaned up the rat mess and thanked the Lord for $20 to help us buy groceries. And a few days later, I was cleaning in another closet, and the same thing, another huge rat nest, another $20 bill. And a few days after that, our daughter was cleaning in the bathroom on a top shelf. There was another huge rat nest, another $20 bill. Now, every piece of paper in that rat nest were chewed up, but the $20 bills did not have a tooth mark on them. So that is a real miracle. God didn't want those $20 chewed up. He wanted us to buy food with it. And we're so thankful that God can use rats. He can use anything to supply your needs. Now, don't go looking for rats to bring money to your house, because they might not do it. And we have never found another rat nest with money, but there was a need at that time, and God did supply the need. We're so thankful this morning that our son and our daughter-in-law and our grandson from Flowery Branch, Georgia, is here with us. You know, that boy is a real miracle. He was in a bad car accident when he was in high school in California. He was in the 12th grade. I think it was the 12th and 11th. 11th grade. And he was going down the mountain one morning to deliver papers. And it was rainy and beginning to sleet and freeze a little bit. The little car he was in went down a hill, and it rolled over about 7 times, and it threw him out of the car. And for 11 hours, he lay down in that ditch until he finally got the attention of a woman that lived close by. She said that she had heard, you know, somebody hollering, but she didn't want to go down there because there was so many drunks that had accidents there, and she was afraid, you know, it was a drunk. And so she finally called the ambulance, and they came out and got him, took him to the hospital, and they said no way this boy could live. They cut his clothes off of him. The doctor told the people he was staying with, you get hold of his parents right now and get them here as fast as you can. So they called us. We were in Belize, and we flew out, which was a miracle, getting a seat on the airplane. There were 2 seats left to get out the next day. And we flew into San Jose, California, not knowing anybody. And he was in the hospital in San Jose. And we got there, and there was this young couple that had heard about us, and they said that we could stay at their house. They met us at the airport. They didn't know who we was. We didn't know who they were, but the Lord just led us at the airport right together. And we went to their house, and she told us that we've just moved into a 4-story house. Well, we figured maybe it was an older house, but we found out that her husband was a multimillionaire. And they had this huge, beautiful house that they just turned over to us. And when they had to go somewhere, they said, the house is yours. You go and come as you need to. And we stayed with them most of the time that we were there. And different people would loan us vehicles. One Baptist brother saw us at the hospital, and he said, I have an old vehicle here. And said, I would like for you all to use it while you're in this area. So we were provided a vehicle while we were there. We went to the hospital, and the social worker met us, and she said, I need to talk to you before you go in to see your son. And she began to tell us all these things. You know, we're going to teach him to do that and teach him to do this, and he'll be in the wheelchair the rest of his life. But they'll learn and adapt to being that way. And as she was telling us, it was going in one ear and out the other because we wasn't accepting it. And God had given me a dream after I got there. And in the dream, I dreamed that a man in white came into the hospital room and touched our son on the forehead And I dreamed that he jumped up out of the bed and run down the hall and was telling the nurses, I need to go to the bathroom. Says, where's the bathroom? And so we went in to see him after she talked to us a while. And there he was on the Stryker bed because he had broken his neck. And they were, you know, having to keep him on a Stryker bed. And then finally they did surgery on his neck. But he was still paralyzed from his chest down. He could use his arms. And we begin to wonder, Lord, when are you going to do this miracle? We know that you're going to do it. But the Lord had a purpose in him staying in the hospital for 54 days. There was a atheist in the room with him. And this atheist told everybody, said, I want nothing to do with God. He told Sam, said, I don't want you to talk to me about God. Said, I want nothing to do with God. So the morning that Sam got his miracle, this atheist and he were in the room by themselves. And two young men come in to pray for Sam and talk to him. They prayed for him, and Sam said he felt the power of God go through his body, and he jumped up and stood up and began to walk. Well, the nurses run in and told him, says, you get back in that bed. You can't do that. Said, unless the doctor tells you you can walk, you stay in that bed. So they told us, now you make him stay in that wheelchair when he's up. But when they'd go out the door, we'd get up and walk and praise God. And when that day when the miracle happened, James and I wasn't there. But Greg was there with him, that's the atheist. And about that time, he looked over at Sam and he said, Sam, says, I want to hear more about God. Said, I've seen something today. So God had a purpose in Sam being in that hospital that long to lead that boy to the Lord, to show him that there was a miracle working God. And we're so thankful for all the things that God has done for us down through the years. The Lord bless you.
Why don't you just stand up and lift up your hands and give God the glory? He wants to be glorified. Oh, thank you, Lord. Raise your hand, raise your voice, and praise the Lord. Yes, Lord, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord.
Bring them up here so the people can see who they are.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Well, isn't God wonderful? Well, I praise God for a son that has surrendered his life to the Lord. Praise God for a daughter-in-law that the both of them serve God together. Praise God for such a sweet, wonderful grandson by the name of Matthew James Golden. Is that what your name is? Your name Matthew James Golden? Yes, it's been asked that they come up and present themselves. Well, praise God. This makes me think of when did you get married? Long time ago. Hey, this makes me think of a long time ago. At Elsinore Lake, California. You know, my wife didn't tell, she didn't have time to tell the complete story, and I don't either. But the doctors had said he couldn't feel anything from here on down. And they explained to us, you know, he'll never walk again. They'll have to keep tubes in him. And his bowels and everything have to come out through tubes and everything. But they're used to it, and there's ways to do that. And they said, and he will never, you know, like be married and be a father of children. But God, our Father, Heavenly Father, he knows all about that. Well, in Lake Elsinore, on that glorious day, they stood out in the open air at a beautiful national park, I believe it was a state park or something,
that they had written for the occasion under a beautiful arch. And I did the ceremony, and they made their holy vows before the Lord. And in due process of time, this precious little guy came along. Isn't God wonderful? God wonderful? God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'd like to talk to you some this morning, bring several scriptures to your attention. I want to talk to you about glory in tribulation. I'd like for you to turn in the Word of God to Romans, the 5th chapter. Is this all right? Is this you hear all right? Okay, thank you. And the Apostle Paul tells us, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful to have peace with God? In the natural, people have peace whenever everything is peaceful all around them. And then whenever trouble and trials come along, well then, you know, their peace is gone in their trouble. Praise God for the peace of God which passeth understanding, that even though we walk in the midst of all kinds of trouble and tribulation, the peace of God will come over us. Yes. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we, what? In what? Yes. How many times have you ever heard people moan the blues? Did you ever moan the blues? I'm not going to pretend to be a supernatural human being, but I'm a natural human being. My weaknesses manifest themselves from time to time. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. Ask Samuel. My son, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Praise God for the love that there's there. Many things, a mother will see her child in trouble or in distress, and she'll come to that child's rescue. And you start doing something amiss to one of her little child, and she will flog you like an old hen with chicken, just like she's supposed to. Just like what was created in every fiber of her being. And you know, praise God, God so loved the world, you know. God is love. He looked down on lost humanity and their lost condition. And let me tell you, His love was so great that He gave His only begotten Son. And let me tell you, that love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given to us, you know, not sold to us or not loaned to us. It's free, you know. Praise God for His free gift. And you know, that love of God is so strong that you look out there at lost people, and you know, God is a God of unmerited favor. We don't deserve it at all. And then, you know, He puts it in our heart to see people that don't deserve a great amount of strength and effort to put forth. But God puts a drive and a stamina, and because of that love and because of that compassion, like an old hen taking care of her chicken, and He'll make you willing to go through all kinds of trials and troubles and tribulations just to reach out to a lost and a dying world. We glory in tribulation. When this, my only begotten Son, was about 6-7 months old, we were in Mexico, and on the backside of what they call Ciudad Obregón in the state of Sonora, Mexico, building a church there, preaching our heart out, there came an epidemic. I think they might have called it valley fever. It affected mostly children. During the time of that epidemic, we worked to take care of burying the dead, comfort relatives, preach the gospel, do everything we could to help and show compassion. This, my only begotten son, just a little tiny baby, became stricken with that sickness. I have seen a fever thermometer used to check fever. And, you know, I've seen him pull it out. And I don't remember, maybe my wife remembers, how high his fever got. But I never had seen anybody with fever that high before. I had never had known of anybody, and I don't even remember even since then of anybody having fever that high. But I myself was stricken with the same thing. It affected your lungs and your throats, and with terrible pain in the chest and terrible pain in the lung. And there, this boy was just gasping for breath, and yet with a high fever. We had just a small refrigerator at that time, and we gave him aspirin, and that didn't seem to help. And we would soak those towels, get those towels damp, and put them in the refrigerator, and then put towels around his body to keep the fever down. You talk about tribulation. You know, you see, it's almost like saying no pain, no gain. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I heard one brother say, no go, no lo. Lo, I am with you. No pain, no gain. No tribulation, no glory. Praise God for him receiving glory like he never would have received if there wouldn't have never been any trials and tribulations. Way in the night, I couldn't sleep, and I had a terrible headache. There I was. It looked like it was the end, the next one. My wife counted one day, I think, around 90 new graves. Pretty large city, that Ciudad Obregón. And there were children's graves where they had gone out to help bury the dead. And yes, they had died in just 1 week because of that epidemic. And you talk about walking in the midst of trouble and trials. The flesh does not like to do that. Way or night, whenever we were in that condition and at a very low ebb, I was committed to the Lord. Just said, Lord, it's all yours. Lord, it's all in your hand. Lord, you know what you're going to do to us. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to feed your sheep. Lord, I want my son to grow up and him to feed your sheep. And, you know, while we were right there in the midst of that tribulation, and right there in the midst of that myself suffering, I felt some glory of the Lord. We read about Elijah being in a certain place, and he saw great manifestations. But then, after that was all over with, a still, small voice spoke to him. And praise God for that still, small voice that can dispel all the troubles and trials and tribulations and give the victory. And I knew that the answer was on its way. The next morning, it was a little warm. I got up and went out. Lay on a little cot outside of our little camping trailer. And while we was out there, while I was out there, I heard a plane. I actually saw the plane flying around several times, made a loop over where we were, flying real low. And I was wondering, what in the world is that crazy fella doing? I had seen crop dusters because they grew irrigated cotton in that part of the desert. And so I was thinking maybe it's something that had to do with irrigated cotton. After I'd lain out there a few minutes, I got up and went back in the trailer. We heard a knock at the door of the trailer. And my wife opened up the door. And immediately when I heard the voice, it was I knew it was a missionary friend of ours. He had been way up in Texas, up in the state of Texas. The Lord spoke to him, said, you get in your plane tomorrow, and you go right to see that Obregon to the Golden's house, to the Golden's place. They need you. Look them up. They need you. Well, his manner was, and lots of times, I have flown with him in different places before that, and after it was too. When he arrived at a place, well, he would fly over hoping people would recognize his plane and would go pick him up at the airport because sometimes taxi service is not all that good. So he came into the little trailer, and in just one glance around, he knew that we weren't having a picnic. He said, "What's wrong?" My wife said, "Samuel is deathly sick with a very high fever, gasping for breath. But James is also very sick." He says, "I've got something for you." And he went, laid hands on this boy when he was, you know, about that big. That God healed little Samuel. Went right straight to where I was laying on the little back bed and said, "Lord, heal Brother James." Glory in tribulation. Praise God. I praise God for the glory that comes down. I praise God for the glory that came down in the fiery furnace when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in that fiery furnace. I praise God for the fourth man, Brother Coffey, that jumped in the fire with them. Glory to God. So praise God, instead of moaning the blues, I've done my share of that. I'm not going to try to say I never did. You know, I was mentioning one time, like there's a time for all things. Time to laugh and time to cry. And I mentioned to some folks that there's a time to get out and boo-hoo, and there's a time to get up and boogie and praise God. He knows how to change our, he knows how to change our get out and boo-hoo into a get up and boogie. Isn't God good? Isn't he wonderful? Woo! Thank you, Lord. Did you enjoy the preaching last night? I tell you what, I praise God for the excitement. After preaching years, this brother is still excited about what God is doing. He just hadn't, you know, leveled off and got so used to it or so calm or collected that it doesn't excite him anymore. Praise God, it gets more exciting all the time. I got up out of bed. I begin coughing. I hope it doesn't bother you. I'll try to say this as mild as I can. I didn't realize all that much stuff could be in a person's lungs. I went to service that night. I know several courses in Spanish. Got up and sang to the top of my voice, praising God for victory. Day or two after that, they had announced that they were wanting different people from different churches to gather at a certain church up in Hermosillo, Sonora, Mexico. So Sam, you know, God delivered Sam. He didn't get rid of all that stuff quite as quick. But still, that fever broke, and he was able to sit up, you know, well and strong. The epidemic was still continuing. But when we went up to the church convention for churches to get together, certain pastor's little grandson had died from that same epidemic. And in one afternoon, while we were in the convention, part of the convention, it was necessary to have the funeral of the little boy. It was pretty sad that the mother's name was Rosa, and the pastor's daughter. And I saw how he really worked to try to comfort Rosa. He would hug her. Está bien, Rosa. Está bien. Ya, Rosa. Ya, Rosa. Ya lloró suficiente, and trying to comfort her heart and how she couldn't be comforted. I stood by the coffin of the little baby. The scripture says, "Weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice." And it was partly out of weeping for those that were weeping for the loss of that precious little baby, But it was also tears of joy. We had our little boy there, and he was well, and he was strong. God had raised him up. And we could glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord had raised him up. When they called us and told us they didn't know if our son would live through all they'd gone through with, he had had bruises on his head as well as other places. Well, before that, I had had a dream. But I just dreamed that he was out among some pine bushes, small pine trees. And I dreamed of hearing him scream, "Help me! Help me! Help me!" And the dream was so clear. When they called us, well then, we were, even though he was in that condition in the hospital, we were able to talk to him from Belize. When we were talking to him, he was kind of describing his accident. And then I remembered the dream. I said, "Son, I had a dream. I am sure that dream is from the Lord. And what you're just describing to me of being out there for that long time hollering, 'Help me, help me, help me, please help me.' Well, I told him, I am sure that that is God preparing us beforehand, letting us know that God is absolutely going to come on the scene and going to help you." Well, praise God for a good, healthy son. Praise God for tribulation. Praise God that we can look back and give him glory. We can glory in tribulation. Right in the big middle of it. Praise God for a strong, healthy son that is able to get out and stomp the ground. Isn't God wonderful? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Troubles and trials. Let me carry you through some scriptures. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. Show you some of the tribulations Paul gloried in. He didn't boo-hoo about it. 2 Corinthians 11, 24-30. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." On five different occasions, they had beaten him with 39 stripes. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils of the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon us daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things concerning man's infirmity." Yes, isn't it wonderful that no matter what happens, what comes or goes in this kind of trials or tribulation, praise God, you can still give God the glory. Yes, amen. I look back on several years. Many times of tribulation. I don't think it's going to end right now, and everything is going to be sweet and nice and smooth all the rest of the way. Let me tell you, God has brought us over some many rough roads. I'm sure He is going to take us over some more. And in this year of 1998, I'm looking back on the last few years to see how God has miraculously cared for us in times of tribulation. If I am still alive on the earth in 2003 or 2004 or 2005, I will be looking back to the way God has brought me through the tribulation between 1998 and 2005. Let me tell you, God is going to see us through. God is not through with His church. God has not forsaken His church. And though tribulation come, it will only strengthen the church like it has been doing all down through the ages of time. In times of tribulation and trials and famines, God has come along and strengthened the church.
Please turn the tape over. Say two. Thank you.
Praise God, He takes care of us when we're persecuted, whenever we're threatened. The psalmist David says, I believe it's somewhere in Psalm 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I lay me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings be upon thy people. Tribulation draws us together more. Even in that little country of Belize, I could name five different groups of people, religious people. You can see them from away down the street, and just to look at them, you can tell what they belong to. And people that feel like that God has got them in a very special category. And they're on a very special pedestal. And if you go among them, they got their way of knowing, well, he's not one of us. He's a stranger, and we'll just be nice to him while he is here. But boy, that's all we want to do, because and we sure can't have fellowship with some over there. I was giving out tracts one time, and I offered, and the tract was nothing but verses of Scripture out of the King James Bible. Would you like to have a tract, sir? He says, oh, I don't accept any kind of literature from anybody else. I don't read anything at all but our literature. I said, you know, that's Bible. That's King James Bible. He said, but, oh, if I want to read the Bible, I'll just read my own Bible. I'll read it out of my Bible. And so they are sealed. They are shielded. They are holier than thou. The Apostle Paul said, in perils of false brethren. The Psalmist David said, I believe it's in Psalms 120, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. That's what he cried. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Praise God that He gets the war out of us, and we're not warring against our brother or sister. We're not warring against somebody of another race or another creed. Praise God for tribulation. Whenever they're refining gold, they just get a nugget mixed with all kinds of stuff over here with stone, and a nugget mixed that with stone over here. Let me tell you, they put it in that great big old furnace, and they turn the heat on. Let me tell you, that gold just melts all together, just comes right there together. And praise God, in these very last days, that's part of His purpose that He's got just around the corner for you and me. Amen. Oh, isn't God wonderful? Yes. Oh, thank you. Let's get some more. Whoo, I love the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's try that out. And start with 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Not by any special skills we have developed, Are we able to walk in the midst of troubles and trials and tribulation? But it is the excellency of the power of God that He has in these earthen vessels. I believe it's 1 John 2:27 said, but the anointing that you have received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, so shall you abide in Him. Praise God for the excellency of the power of God in human vessels, in His church, that is greater than any tribulation that can ever come. Now, look here. Let's read some more. We are troubled on every side. Woo-hoo! Oh, wait a minute. I'm reading that wrong. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Don't wait a minute. But not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Isn't God wonderful? Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in us. Praise God for dying daily and being where death is all around, so that the life of Jesus Christ can be made manifested in us. Let me tell you, the resurrected Son of God arose out of a tomb way over there, just outside of Jerusalem, when the enemies thought that they had Him down. Let me tell you, up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose a victory over the vast domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. But He didn't only arise and His life be manifested there. When you and I were dead in trespasses and sins, and dead religion and strife, the Son of God, His life resurrected in us, His power resurrected in us, His character resurrected in us. It's wonderful to say over yonder He resurrected and His life was manifested. But I tell you, it's more wonderful in 1998, 1999, 2000, 2001, or however far we go along this journey, to realize the resurrected Son of God, the life of the Son of God, is being made manifested in us. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't God wonderful? Oh, thank you, Jesus. God's so great. Raise your hand and give Him the glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Maybe I can be just a little bit quieter. Well, Bill, you got another throat lousing. Maybe I can let this microphone do the work. Does that sound like that make good sense to you? Let's look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I think we can start reading at the 32nd verse, Hebrews 11, 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Can you say, we will subdue kingdoms? I caught you off guard. Say it again. We will subdue kingdoms. Wrought righteousness. We shall work righteousness. Obtain the promises. Oh, thank you, thank you. We shall obtain promises. Stop the mouth of lions. We shall stop the mouth of lions. Maybe naturally speaking, I don't think so, but spiritually speaking. All right. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. I don't know if you've been keeping up with news in the church world. The fact that in the country of Sudan, many Christians are being put to death and severely persecuted and denied their daily bread because of the persecution against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In China, I've read reports and heard other Christian commentators speak about it and name off how many thousand in China in the last 3 years have been put to death because of their faith. Well, praise God. If it comes here, if God says go to China, I'll go to China. God has said go to Belize. God has said go to Cuba. And we've gone. Let me tell you, God has taken care of us. Like I say, I don't know how many times they have threatened to kill me. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get rid of you. Oh, thank you. I'll tell you what, I'd like to stop and explain something, though, in case you're wondering. And what I'd like to explain to you is, they haven't killed me. I wanted to tell you that because you were looking a little worried. I didn't want you to worry anymore. And you know what? I don't think they will ever kill me until God is ready for me to come. And I'm telling you, that is going to be a wonderful time. That will be the best type of glory in tribulation, is whenever he says, son, it's enough now. Come on. Let's see, I was reading here. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. You know there's lots of Christians in prison right now just because of their faith? I have talked personally to Christians that were put in prison for their faith and later let out. And I've heard of others personally that they knew this brother that they had come because of doing the work of the gospel, was put in jail. All right, here. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now that happened 2,000 years ago and previous to that. But some of you know church history. You've read about probably Nero, how that on certain occasions he would have Christians crucified and have the kind of oil like they put in lamps, put on their bodies and set them on fire, and at night ride back and forth among the bodies of Christians rejoicing because he was having victory over Christian people. Let me tell you, all of that, instead of getting rid of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church grew and flourished. And instead of the Roman Empire conquering the church and doing away with the church did away with the Roman Empire. Let me tell you, tribulation is not going to destroy the church. Whatever kind of troubles and trials might come your way, it's just going to make you stronger. Now, you might be hearing about upcoming troubles and trials, and I'm sure they're bound to come. And you have your battles with fear, and I have mine. You're probably afraid you're going to lose everything you got, all your natural possessions. And I think, well, what's going to happen now if I just lose everything? And I wind up with just not any natural possessions at all in this world and just have to wait day by day, not knowing just for sure how am I going to get by if it comes down to that. There have been many a Christian person that was in that position before. They exist right now. They have existed all through the years in countries where there is terrible famine. They have, that those conditions have happened. But you know what? God saw our great country through the Revolutionary War. And it was a time of terrible chaos. I read about it. I wasn't there. I wanted to explain that to you. And he saw us through the Civil War. And they say that in the United States, during the Civil War, There were more people killed that were just Americans than all that were killed in the Second World War. That was a terrible, tragic thing that our country went through. It was really a time of chaos and trouble and tribulation. Did you know that during the Revolutionary War and during the Civil War, there were people of God that stayed victorious, and they were flourished, and they glorified God in the midst of all of that tribulation, and God saw them through. I do remember. Did I, if I tell you how old I am, 61 years old, I do remember some of the last days of the Second World War. And I went to movies, and we saw those war pictures on the movies, And I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember back in those days, just during the last part of the Second World War. You know, I was in the late 30s. I was born in 1937. So I don't remember the Depression, but I sure remember hearing people talk about it and all that they went through with. And did you know that there's many, many Christian people that went through that Great Depression, and they came out stronger than they were before the Great Depression? And I am sure that the Church of the Living God right here in the United States was a stronger and a more victorious church after the Great Depression than they was before the Great Depression ever started. And I'm sure that no matter what kind of recession, depression, persecution, trial, or chaos, or martial law, or whatever might happen in the United States, I am sure that our God is not going to abandon His church, just like He has taken care of His church in tribulation. I am sure that He's going to do the same thing to you and me. So why dread it? Why dread tribulation? Why dread trials? Why dread persecution? Oh, isn't God wonderful? Let me, while we're right here, let's go to Romans. I don't want to get too spooky. Oh, there's brightness. There's glory coming. Praise God. You see, when those trials with our son, having that bad wreck, or getting deathly sick way down in Mexico, it looked like terrible, worst thing that could happen. But you know, before it all happened, God knows how to prepare us. He knew how to prepare me and let me know that glory is coming. And glory was on its way, even whenever we were suffering all of that. And even whenever He was there, off in that ditch and for 11 hours in the cold and screaming for help. It didn't look like there was any help around. But let me tell you, glory was coming. And let me tell you, whenever you go through trials and hardships and tribulation, you just say, glory is coming. I'm going to glory in tribulation. Where are we? Romans 8, 35. 39, you know this. Probably some of you can quote it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That is, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. When I was a boy, back on the farm, about 6 to 70 miles back in this direction, southeast of here, we only had a heater in the front room. No matter how cold the weather was, I see some of you grinning like a possum back there. You know what I'm talking about. And they always built those big old thick quilts. I remember having one that is made out of old overalls and blue jeans all just sewed together at random, but it was big enough and wide enough, and it was stuffed with old toe sacks, or if you want to call them gunny sacks, and had enough of them. I tell you, it could be snowing outside, and it could be cold, and feel mighty uncomfortable if you were up getting around, but just to pull the mother's old comforter over you, you know, and just pull it right up over your ears and just kind of leave your mouth sticking out and just feel so warm and so comfortable and so cozy. Let me tell you, God has got a comforter that will comfort you no matter what you go through with. He has comforted my heart so many, many times whenever I felt like I was out in the cold and enduring all kinds of trouble and trials, whenever I was tempted to get out and boo-hoo when I ought to knew how to get up and boogie. But instead of getting up and boogieing, I was getting down and boo-hooing. But God come along and He knew how to take care of things. I'm thinking of Moses. After they came out of Egypt, Pharaoh decided they wanted to go catch them again and bring them back. And they were up against it. Moses and the children of Israel were up against it. And here come the armies. They had no way to go. And Moses got out and began to boo-hoo. And the Lord come along, and I'm going to paraphrase it again. The Lord told Moses, it's not time to get out and boo-hoo. It's time to get up and boogie. So he, why liest thou on thy face? Get thee up and speak to the children of Israel that they go forward and stretch out your rod over the sea. And Moses got up and he obeyed God, stretched out that rod. Let me tell you, those waters parted and he went over and they went over and they didn't wade any mud up to their knees. Let me tell you, they went up and kicking up dust as they went on through there. Let me tell you, God is going to take you and me through. Oh, thank you, Lord. Isn't God wonderful? Now, where else are we going to go? Oh, praise God. God's got so many promises to take care of us. We read of all of these in the Scriptures, that although they went through a lot of troubles and trials, so many of them, the apostles went through so many things. They killed James with the sword. They stoned Stephen to death. Jesus said, they will persecute you from city to city, and some of you shall they put to death. He said, he that killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Another place he said, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. Praise God for glory in tribulation, right in the big middle of every bit of it. The reality of God and the power of God within His church is greater than all of it. See if we can go over some of the promises of God. I believe it's Psalms 121. It tells us, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. For you who understand Spanish, that same psalm in Spanish goes like this. Alzaré mis ojos a los montes, de donde vendrá mi socorro. Mi socorro viene de Jehová, quien hizo los cielos y la tierra. No dará tu pie al resbaladero, ni se dormirá el que te guarda. He aquí, no se adormecerá ni dormirá el que guarda a Israel. Jehová es tu guardador. Jehová es tu sombra, tu mano derecha. El sol no te fatigará de día ni la luna de noche. Jehová te guardará de todo mal. Él guardará tu alma. Jehová guardará tu salida y tu entrada desde ahora y para siempre. How many of you understand Spanish? Well, only three, so I'll go back to English, okay? I knew a precious brother, done gone home to be with the Lord now, by the name of Fred Gray, and God really used him a lot in the word of knowledge. He had been a medical doctor turned preacher and turned Christian. I heard some folks say he was a medical doctor that got religion. They use it that way, you know, use that terminology. You ever know any medical doctors that turned to the Lord? Praise God for, I've met several of them that God is really using mightily. And praise God for some that come to these camp meetings and God uses them mightily. But back when he was in the Navy, getting on a ship to go over, I heard him give his testimony. And he walked out by himself. Kind of out toward the bow of the ship, wondering how things were going to go. He knew what he was headed toward. He was wondering what the outcome was going to be. And he was looking up at the stars. And he said he heard an audible, clear voice speaking to him. You want me to tell you what the voice said? It said to him, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Right. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Yeah. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy way. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Anybody in here hungry? Oh, praise God. Isn't God wonderful? Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, thank you, dear loving Savior. We have depended on many things, many gadgets. We've put confidence in them. If we give God the glory for supplying them, and we commit all of the gadgets that we've got to the Lord, like Abraham did, all the gadgets that he had, and all the gadgets that Job had, and all the possessions that Job had, let me tell you, normally God can let you have material possessions, and you can use those material possessions for the glory and for the honor of God, giving God the glory for all of it. God is a God, He said, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I'm not going to tell you that I have really sought the kingdom of God and His righteousness like I ought to. But I think I've got more gadgets, more things added to me than I deserve. Praise God for abundantly taking care of us and helping us. And He's going to take care of us if He has to rain manna down from heaven. If He has to send some more rats. My wife told me later on, you know, we shouldn't kill them rats. We should have made pets out of them. Over in, we went by through a church over west, over in the western state, and the Lord put it on my heart for my wife to give this testimony. And so then two or three years later, we came by the same church, and I have been known to let my big mouth get me in trouble. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. This one brother come up, and he said, has the Lord sent any more rats to bring your money? I says, well, no. The Lord got two-legged rats that will listen to Him now. And praise God for... So, this one sister gave my wife an offering, says, I want to be one of your rats, she said. That's up. And God, wonderful, we glory. Are you going to glorify God in tribulation? I'm excited about what God is going to do in the next few years. Oh, I'm telling you, it's going to be glorious in His church, although it might be hard on the flesh. God bless you. Thank you for allowing us to speak to you and share with you.
The following is the word of the Lord that was given during the praise and worship in the first part of the service.
It's harvest time. Thou shalt be thrust out into my harvest. Thou shalt be thrust out, yea, as my army, yea, as my soldiers, as my generals, saith the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. I will prepare you. The day is at hand that you must go forth in my name. You must go forth and raise the dead and cast out devils and heal the sick. For I am with thee, saith the Lord. I shall thrust thee out. Amen.
Ooh. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory out of my God. Out of my higher. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Apostolic ministry, saith the Lord. Know that God shall move on the left and on the right, and know that my anointed ones are coming forth. Yea, the prophets shall come forth, and after the prophets shall be the apostles. So my people, I tell you, my government is coming to the church.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
By the word of the Lord, we are made for overcomers. By the word of the Lord, we are able to stand. He reigneth for word is eternal. He has made His appeal to us. meet overcomer. By the word of the Lord, we are able to stand, He reigneth forever, and His word is eternal. He has made His appeal.
Shall no longer stand in your way, saith the Lord. For indeed my anointing is upon you to transcend barriers like they have never seen before. And yea, you have felt like things were holding you back from going forward. You have heard the word many times. You have felt inspired many times. But yea, lacked the courage and could not make the connection, saith the Lord. Indeed, I am causing you to make the connection, saith the Lord, like never before. For yea, between you and the lost, you have seen as it were a great gulf or a chasm. And you have seen the hardness of the heart of many people. And you have seen many that have rejected, saith the Lord. But yea, they have only put up a front, saith the Lord. Indeed, when I cause you to penetrate, and you shall see hearts melt as never before. Did not I tell my beloved disciples, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And yet it shall not just be power to speak words with a loud voice, but you shall have power to show forth a compassion, and the power of my compassion for the lost shall be revealed in you. You shall no longer be resentful of those that are sinful in rejecting, but your heart shall be full of compassion, because heretofore you have been resentful, and they detect the resentment when you speak to them. But yea, they will detect a new thing about you, saith the Lord. They will detect my compassion about you. Yea, I am preparing your heart with the power of love and of a sound mind and of compassion like you have not known before.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
And as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And as as you go, preach saying, thy kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely sing it. And as you go, preach saying, thy kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.